Summer is here. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. I like the summer for a lot of different reasons. There's, of course, you can pull out the barbecue grill, which I enjoy. There's the pool parties. Of course, you guys know this summer we have lots planned for you guys with the Oasis, with Freeburger Thursdays. And there's pool parties all the time. I love pool parties, you know. I love belly flops. I love cannonballs, all of those things. Pretty much anything about a pool party, right? So, you know, we got a lot of pool parties. In fact, last Sunday, a bunch of the leaders hung out with the outgoing eighth graders who are now freshmen. And we swam and we played capture the flag and we got wet and crazy and threw people in the pool. It was a lot of fun. And then last night, I went to the freshman pool party with some of those same people. Then, of course, Monday, we have the new sixth grader pool party, which I'm very excited for, because that always results in like 30 sixth graders trying to dunk me, and it rarely works, but we'll see if this class can do it. So it's just a lot of fun. And I was thinking about this because at our pool, at my condo, Jen and I's condo, we have a couple pools, and when you walk out by the pool, there's a sign that I'm sure most of you have seen. It's the no diving sign. Have you guys seen it? It's like the stick figure girl breaking her neck. Have you seen that one? And she's obviously like hitting her face on the bottom. And behind her neck is like the snapping vertebrae, I think. I think that's what that is. She's breaking her neck, right? Now, I've thought about this this sign. And I realized that it's there for a very good reason. Because a 6'5" man should never dive into a 5'6" pool. That would be bad, okay? When I can stand up in the water, when you can stand up in the water, which some of you guys are like, there's no water I can stand up in. That's okay. Your bathtub or something, right? But when you can stand up in the water, it's probably a little too shallow for you to dive into. So that sign is there for a reason. Because as much as it says no diving, I think the real rule behind it is no dying. They don't want people perishing in the pool, right? So a couple other signs that I found. There's this next one that's kind of funny. It says no food, drinks, ice cream, mean people, skunks, vampires, rotten apples, garbage, or other things not nice. We really mean it. Now, I don't know what that's for, but obviously they don't like anything that's not nice. So, good sign, way to keep it out. I found a few no parking signs. Here's the first one. Don't park there or you'll get flat tires because of thumbtacks or something. I don't know what that means. The next one is don't park there because we'll cut your car in half with scissors. I don't know how that would work, but I'd kind of like to see it. And the next one's my favorite. Don't park here because a large pigeon will poop on three cars. I think that's what it's saying. So, if you park there, then you'll get really, really covered in pigeon poop. So don't go there. There's also this no trespassing sign. Trespassing, no trespassing. Violators will be shot. Survivors will be shot again. So don't even go there, all right? Just bad. In fact, I was thinking too when I was growing up, my mom, and I'm sure many of yours from the stories that we started tonight out with, have had to tell you, she had to tell me, not to stick things, including my fingers, into electrical sockets. Anybody else ever been told that? Okay. So she made these rules for us. Now, my mom did not make the rule, Kevin, don't stick your finger in an electrical socket, because she was mean. My mom made that rule because she didn't want a crispy child, okay? She didn't want to have to, like, pick my ashes up off the floor and, you know, try to put me back together or something, right? These rules, diving, no sticking your fingers in electrical outlets, and so forth, are there for a reason. That reason is to make our lives a little bit easier. Now, a lot of times we think, oh man, no big deal on the diving thing, you know? No big deal on that or that or that or whatever. And a lot of times we get this mindset that the rules are there to break. But really, if you think about some of these rules, they are there to make sure that we continue living in a way that's good and, I guess, also not dying. They're there for a great reason, most of these. Now, it's true, there are some rules set in place that people just make to be mean, you know. Like, hey, I'm the boss and I'm going to make rules. You probably met somebody like that. But most of these rules are not that way. And tonight, we're taking just a one-week break from Genesis, and we're going to talk about the subject of purity. Now, believe it or not, purity, specifically sexual purity, is not a punishment. Bless you. Not a punishment. It is there for a reason. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you have it already. Purity is not a punishment. Now, the book that we're going to be going through this summer in the Oasis is called, by Joshua Harris, is called Sex is Not the Problem, Lust Is. You guys have seen that on our posters and slides and sign-ups in the back table. And it's a great book because it really hits the right issues. In fact, I love that title because it says the exact truth. Sex is not the problem, lust is the issue. God created sex, and there's a reason for it within marriage. But lust is the problem that has taken it and perverted it. Here's a little quote from Joshua Harris. He says this, part of the challenge Christians face in a lust-filled world is remembering that neither sex nor sexuality is our enemy. Lust is our enemy and has hijacked sexuality. But a lot of times people think that sex is the problem. Well, let me just remind you, Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God created it. God created man, Adam. You remember him? He was all by himself. And God said, hey, Adam, you're cool and all, but it's bad that you should be alone. You remember Adam's job? Naming animals. Ooh, that sounds like fun. Giraffe, hippopotamus, possum, snail, weird thing, I don't know what to name it, you know, whatever. That was his job. And God said, hey, Adam, dude, I'm going to hook you up. Go to sleep. Sleepy time for Adam, okay? So he caused a deep sleep to come over Adam, yanked out a rib, created a woman. Now, only man, only woman. Eve, at this point, was literally the hottest woman on the face of the planet, okay? Now, do you think God was surprised by what started happening? God created them with no clothes on, right? He didn't create them wearing jeans and shirts and stuff. So he put them in the garden, and he wasn't surprised. He's like, oh, what's happening? Oh, my, he wasn't surprised. God created it this way. And within marriage, it's there for a reason. But unfortunately, our society, our generation, has taken it to places that it shouldn't be. So today, we're going to look at three things that people are missing when it comes to purity, when it comes to sexual purity. Let's look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, start reading in verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Verse 8, therefore he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Number one, the first thing that's missing is knowledge. Verse 4 says that each of you should know, have the knowledge, how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. So Paul tells the Thessalonians that they should know how to act. He's been there. He's told them what to do. It's important now for them to act on what they know. They have to do the right thing now. I read a news article about how so many people, specifically this news article was about kids in college, how when they get to college, they throw their morals out the door. And they no longer care so much about purity, so many of them. In fact, the article said this, many literally do not know any better. No adults ever told them that they should or even can lead lives of purity. No one has ever told them. So let's get that out of the way tonight. You can and should lead lives of purity. Every single one of us. God has empowered us to do so. And God has set out the way that we should do so. So we should do exactly that. But a lot of people don't realize that God's plan is better than theirs, better than they think it is. You guys know that the number one topic searched for on the internet is that three-letter word, S-E-X. The number one topic searched for on the internet. Unfortunately, the internet is probably the number one worst place to find information about it. Verse 3 in our text says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Now, that word sanctification, not a word we normally use. Let me define it for you. It means holiness, dedication to the Lord and or moral purity. Now, as I said, that's not a word that we use all the time. Your mom doesn't say, "Hey, excuse me, did you sanctify your hands before we eat?" She doesn't say that, right? You're not at the store, "Hey, mom, I need some more shampoo so I can sanctify my hair." You don't say that. But literally, it means to cleanse or purify or wash. In fact, here's a different translation of that verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. The New Living Translation said, "God wants you to be holy, so you should keep clear of all sexual sin." Verse 4 tells us exactly what's expected of us. It says that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Believe it or not, God did not create purity as a punishment for us. He created it for our pleasure. Because he loved us enough that he wants our lives to be awesome. And so he set up this way for it to be just that, if we'll just follow through with it. And that's how much God loves us. Maybe you have known somebody, maybe it's a teacher, maybe you'd say it's your parents, whatever. But somebody who you think likes to make rules just because they're in charge. Likes to just make your life hard. Well, that's not how God is. When God sets up a rule, it's there for a reason. And when you follow it, it's going to be the best possible thing that you can do. And that's why God has made this, created this thing called purity. So if you have ever thought that purity is a punishment, then you're missing knowledge about it. You have to know that God's plan is best. A second thing that's missing about purity is patience. Verse 4 again, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. And here's the contrast, verse 5, not in passion of lust. So we're missing patience, a lot of the people in our generation are. Patience is kind of a rare commodity in our world. It's rare to find. In fact, we have everything that we want at our fingertips. We have TV with on demand. We have 1 hour photo. We have drive-through fast food. Pretty much anything that you want, you can overnight ship something to you so you don't have to wait. It's no wonder so many people are in debt to their credit cards because they don't want to wait. They don't want to save up their money. They want it now. You guys know how that is, right? You want what you want when you want it. And that's usually right now. We don't want to wait for stuff. How many of you guys have ever tried to master a Rubik's Cube? Anybody? Now, maybe some of you guys are the experts and you got it figured out. I guess I'm an idiot because I can't do it. And it frustrates me and drives me insane. And I remember thinking, looking at this thing, like, how in the world can I get all the sides the same? I don't get it. How in the world is that even possible? And then I got to looking and I was like, hold on. All of the colors on here are stickers. Huh. It's interesting. I think I could take these stickers off and beat the system, right? So, you know, eventually I walk into the bedroom. Hey, Dad, check it out. Got the Rubik's Cube all worked out, you know. The corners are all bent. Some stickers are ripped in half. My dad's like, "Hey, Kevin, looks a little different than when I gave it to you." Oh, it's weird. I don't know how that happened, you know. I was working really hard and toiling and sweating over that, you know. Maybe that's how it happened, because I was working so hard. But we get so patient, sometimes we will go against the rules. We will fight the system to try to get our way, to try to win. Because our world loves instant gratification. We want it now. Verse 5 says that the Gentiles who do not know God live in passion of lust. That word lust means to desire, the desire, craving, or longing for what is forbidden. You have been told there's something, and you're desiring it, you're lusting after it, even though you know you're not supposed to have it. God has told us what not to do, but a lot of times people want to do it anyways. Why is it that when you're told not to do something, you want to do it even more? You guys ever felt that? You know, like your mom says, don't eat the cake, and it really makes you want to eat the cake, right? As if you already didn't have a sweet tooth. In fact, I remember a story my mom told me. Her brother, my uncle, they were real young, over at a babysitter's house. And it was time to take a nap, so the babysitter took him upstairs to lay him in this little girl's room at the house that they were at. The little girl came into his room. She was real young, and she said, "It's okay if you sleep in my room, but whatever you do, do not break the tips off of my brand new crayons." Okay? Now, my uncle would have never thought about that. But what do you think he spent the rest of his nap time doing? Breaking off the tips of all of her brand new crayons. Can you imagine? Blue, yellow, red, black, breaking them all off. So she came in and probably started bawling her eyes out because there's all these broken crayon tips all over the ground. Sometimes when we get told what not to do, that makes us want to do it more. That's called sin. That is called lust. Desiring, craving, wanting what we shouldn't have, what we've been told not to have. And lust is never fueled by love. There's never love involved. It's self-seeking, it's self-gratifying, and it separates us from God. It's a dangerous thing. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter. It says, 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient. Speaking of missing patience, maybe some of you are in a relationship right now, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and you've been pressured, you are being pressured to go further physically with that person. Let me tell you something. They don't love you. They can't, because the Bible says that love is patient. And if you love yourself, if you love God, and you love your future spouse enough, you will wait. You will be patient. And it's the same with them. And if they are pressuring you, you need to get out of that relationship because there's no love, no matter what they say. Love is patient. But the world likes to disguise things and make it look appealing. You guys have probably seen this. It's on billboards. It's on TV commercials. It's everywhere. Sometimes our society kind of tends to portray the message that if you have the right barbecue grill and you drink the right beer, that bikini-clad women are going to come dance with you, you know? You see it all over the place, right? You rarely see a beer billboard without that message being portrayed. That's wrong. It's not fueled by love. That's lust, and lust sells. As I said, the world is good at packaging its stuff to make it look good. In fact, I read about a British company that is literally selling a packet of nothing. Okay, here's a picture of it. It says this: nothing for the person who has everything. Then the instructions say, open the pack and be enthralled when nothing happens. Allow nothing to flow through your mind and soul. Savor the moment. Soon you'll discover that nothing really is so much better than something. What? Are you kidding me? Now the crazy thing is, I was reading the fine print. It says that this product is suitable for ages 14 and up. Meaning none of you in this room can buy nothing. Does that make any sense? What are you guys going to do with nothing to hurt yourself or anyone else, right? But it says 14 and up. In fact, nothing is on sale now for $6.99 plus shipping and handling. So if you want to buy nothing, you can pay $10 to this company and they'll ship you nothing. Or you could buy mine for $5, and I'll hand it to you right now. Okay, it's right here. But a package, this company has figured out a way to package literally nothing to make it look appealing, and people buy into it. People want to buy nothing. Satan is really good at this. He makes sin and lust look appealing. It's a dangerous place to be. But let's be honest. He does a pretty good job. Because sin looks pretty fun a lot of times, doesn't it? He's made it look very appealing. Sin is fun until the consequences set in. One day, it's going to find you out. One day, it's not going to be fun anymore. And there's going to be so much guilt and pain involved that you're going to remember why God said to do it His way and not yours. It's a dangerous path to go down. Our generation is missing patience because they're living in passion of lust, wanting it now. And if you're willing to wait, God's plan is so much better. So, they're missing knowledge, patience, and number three, a relationship. Verse 5, again, it makes the contrast. Like the Gentiles who do not know God. They don't know God. And this is the key. This is the biggest issue as to why people struggle with so much sin. Specifically, on our topic tonight, sexual sin, lust. It's no wonder people struggle with it because so many people don't have that relationship. This is the key. Now, speaking of keys, I brought some keys with me tonight. These are my daughter's keys. There's four of them here. A red one, a yellow one, a purple one, and a green one. Now, I've used these keys. I tried to start Jen's car with these keys. And unfortunately, it didn't work too well. All right? Now, Emery likes to chew on these. She likes to go like this and just wave them around and throw them at stuff. That's her favorite thing to do. But I found out that these keys don't work for anything. I've tried my front door. I've tried my car. Pretty soon I'm going to try a safe and see if that works. A Coke machine. Who knows? Maybe one of them will work. But I'm pretty sure these don't work. You know, what's funny is that a lot of people try to find the key to fixing their problems in things that will never work. Like these. They look for relationships. They look for things. They look for the way to dress. Whatever it is. Because they think that those things are going to fix their problems. But it's just like those keys. They're not going to do anything. They don't fix any problem. You have to have the right key for things to work. And Jesus Christ is the only key that you need that will ever work to make this problem of lust go away in your life. Now that does not mean that you're going to be perfect. But with Jesus Christ, He is the only way you can resist the temptation that is everywhere around us. That's bombarding us every day. Without Him, you can try all you want, but you'll fail. And I tell you that from experience. I've signed purity contracts. I've made promises to friends, to my parents. I've done all of these things. I've set up all these rules and laws to make sure that I was going to do the right thing and not fall again, but I failed. Because when I rely on myself, I'm never going to make it. It's never going to work. Jesus Christ is the key. And remember that most of the world is missing that relationship with their Creator. Most of them don't have it. And you can't expect non-Christians to act like Christians. They're gonna have sex. They're gonna do drugs. They're gonna do all of those things that non-Christians do. But unfortunately, sometimes Christians get so mad at them for doing that. And we're so shocked sometimes at the way the world behaves. It's almost like getting mad at a dog for barking. That's just what dogs do, right? Imagine if your dog started barking, you just kicked him. Hey, quit! Come on, what do you think this is, right? This isn't like a barking place. Get out of here. Go bark with your friends, right? You can't do that. Now, we wouldn't do that to a dog. Now, sometimes we'll tell them to be quiet because they're loud. But dogs bark. That's what they do. Sinners sin. That's what they do. And we can't push our morals or our expectations on people who don't have a relationship with Jesus. That's just part of the problem. The main issue is their lack of relationship with Jesus Christ. Their behavior on the outside is just kind of the symptom. But their lack of relationship is the real problem. You can't push your morals on them, but we are held to a very high standard as those who have heard how it's supposed to be. As Christians, you can only control you. And we're held to a standard. Maybe you have a relationship with God. I know many, most of you do. But you're still living impure, maybe. A lack of purity in your life shows that you're not as close to God as you should be. You need to get closer. You need to trust in Him. Romans chapter 5 asks a pretty important question. Well, it's talking about God's forgiveness, God's grace versus our sin. And it poses a question that many people ask, or the way that they think. They say, well, if God's just going to forgive me, I should be able to just continue sinning. Because, hey, the more sin, the more grace, the more forgiveness. That's how a lot of people think. But this is what Paul says in Romans 6, 1 and 2. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin continue to live in it? Live any longer in it? Joshua Harris said this, why would I want to gain enjoyment or soak my mind in the sins that Jesus had to shed his blood to free us from? Jesus died because of these things. Why would we want to continue to do them? If we have really died to our sin, we need to start living that way. Later on in Romans 6, verse 12, it says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. Now, how many of you guys, your room at home looks like a bomb went off in your room? There's clothes everywhere. There's like rotting cereal under your bed. I know how it is, okay? I grew up in one of those. Now, how many of you, now actually I'm not even going to ask any of you because I know that none of you are like this, but I've heard that there are people who have actually, when their parents ask them to clean their rooms, they get in arguments about it. Can you believe that? There's people out there that do that. And I read about one of these such people, these terrible, terrible, disobedient children. She was 9 years old, lives in Germany. Her mom told her to clean her room up, and she was so angry about this, she decided to put on a little show. So she made a sign. I guess her room was in a place where there was a window facing the street so people passing by could see her. So tears streaming down her face, she makes a sign that says, help, please call the police. And she hangs it up in her window, okay? She also, to make it a little more dramatic, enlisted the help of her 2-year-old brother to sit by her and look really sad. Save us, you know? Call the police, please. And so here she is, tears streaming down her face, her poor, sad little brother sitting there. She's holding the sign, help, please call the police. So of course, everybody's calling the police. Police, hurry, get over there. I don't know what's wrong, but there's a little girl and a little boy, and it's the saddest thing I've ever seen, right? So the police officers pull up to the house. Excuse me, ma'am, is everything all right here? It's like, yeah, everything's great. Well, we got a call that there's a little girl in the window saying, call the police. So they walk in and the little girl's like, I just didn't want to clean my room, you know? She's so sad about it. So, you know, it's funny too because her whole ploy to get out of cleaning her room didn't work. Because you know what the police officer said? Your room's dirty. You should probably clean it. The police officers told her to clean her room. So, of course, she was like, okay. She cleaned it up. In fact, 2 hours later, the police came back. The room was spotless. She had cleaned it all up. You know, some people look for the cure in the wrong place, don't they? They look for it in friends, in popularity, in music, in the way they dress, in a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They look for it in all those different ways when the key is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I've never had a police officer rescue me from cleaning my room. Although that would be pretty cool if it worked out that way. But it never has. People are always looking in the wrong place. And I want you guys to understand tonight that purity is not a punishment. It is there for a purpose. Because God loves us enough that he set up this plan of how we should live our lives so that we could honor him. But not only that, because he knew our lives would be the absolute best if we followed it. That's how much God loves us. He doesn't make rules to make our lives hard. He makes rules because he knows if we follow them, our lives are going to be amazing. And God wants us to have that life. God wants us to live abundantly. Let me just read this last verse, verse 8. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. God has this here for a reason. We sang that song tonight, Divine Romance. I love that song. It talks about how we should have this intimacy with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I loved one of the lines. It says that we should lift our heart and our hands to show our love. There's a lot of people in this world that are trying to show their love in a lot of different other ways. But let me tell you, the one way to show your true love for Jesus is to lift your hands in surrender and say, God, I'm yours. I want to follow your plan. And whether it's sexual purity, whatever it is, God's plan is always best, and it's always designed to make our lives the best they can possibly be. So maybe you're here tonight and you haven't been following God's plan. Maybe that's for sexual purity. Maybe that's for something completely different. But you know you're not where you should be. End that tonight. Begin following God's plan. It's the best. It's the best way you can ever live. And it's the one decision you'll never regret, following Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for preparing the way, for making it so obvious and so clear as to how we're supposed to live. Lord, let our lives be lived in reflection of you. Help us to honor you and serve you and love you. God, you are just so faithful and so good. And we look forward to seeing how you're going to work in each of our lives. God, let this be, in this room right now, a generation who seeks your face, who wants to lead a life of purity and wants to follow your plan, because God, we know that it's the best possible thing we can do. Thank you so much for loving us that much that you set up these rules to head us toward the best possible life. Help us to follow that and to serve you in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. Have an excellent night.